It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to the 36th episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I have a conversation with Christian Forte, one of the creators behind Deadwalker, the latest Kickstart comic. If you've listened to this podcast before, you know what a big fan I am of those books. You're going to want to check your local comic store to be sure you pick up a copy of this one. Then I review the latest comics, followed by my weekly discussion with Ian Cullen and John Luca Glazer about comics news and previews. Then, of course, I take a look into the local comic store to see what's new this week. So let's get on with the show. With Christian Forte, the writer of Deadwalker from Kickstart Comics. And how are you doing today, Christian?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Great, great. I read the book and I really liked it. Of course, I like all the Kickstart products, so I go into it knowing that I'm going to like it because it's a self-contained story and those kinds of things. So the question I want to start off with asking, I always ask everybody this, did you read comics before you got into writing it? And if you do, what kind of books did you enjoy?
I never actually read comics ever growing up.
Ah.
So I'm brand new to the comic world.
Okay. That's interesting. So how did you get to write the book then? If you weren't really much of a comics fan, how did you come to write Deadwalker?
Well, I came up with the idea for Deadwalker with a close friend of mine who has helped out on the project a little bit. He's a film producer. My main background is screenwriting for film. And so Deadwalker was originally a film concept about 8 or more years ago, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an idea that had been floating and slowly cultivating. And I was never sure whether I was going to turn it into a screenplay or just pitch it around town or just kind of kick it around a little bit. And then I was approached at some point to see if it would be a good fit as a comic. And that was a whole new concept for me. I had never really read comics except for in my screenwriting capacity. I would sometimes read them for jobs that I would be hired for converting comics into scripts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a new process for me. Just the format of a comic was completely foreign.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that I had to learn along the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd never know it from reading Deadwalker. I think it turned out extremely well. It's a very nicely paced book. I think, of course, the art, Shannon Denton does it, and Matt Jacobs do a beautiful job on the art. I just think it turned out gorgeously.
Thank you.
The only concern that I had about it was that, and I read some places that you were planning on this to come out before Halloween, and it's coming out now afterwards, but I still think in time for the holiday season, this is something you could certainly give somebody.
Sure.
So I like the book a lot. It's interesting you mentioned that you have something of a film script background. We have a lot of people in comics that actually started out with scripts for films.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jeff Johns, for example, in DC, he was a script writer. And
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people in the comics industry who actually began by directing films or television or stuff like that. So you actually have a pretty good background for comics.
Yeah, I mean, I've written screenplays for 17 years. So I have a pretty somewhat lengthy history.
Mm-hmm.
As a screenwriter, but the comic was a new format, and it was an exciting challenge,
mm-hmm.
and it was challenging learning a new craft, mm-hmm. writing for panel by panel, basically trying to lay it out in a way that makes sense for the narrative. So it was challenging, but it was a wonderful experience. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. I guess based on the book, are you a horror fan?
I appreciate great works of horror and thriller and sci-fi, but I would not put myself in the category of a fan of horror. But I appreciate really well-done work. And again, my background's from films. If you were going to make me put out a list of my favorite horror or sci-fi or thrillers, that none of them would be comics. I wouldn't even know where to begin to tell you because I'm just not familiar
mm-hmm.
with that format.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great format to work in.
A lot of people tell me they're a fan of a good story and it doesn't matter what the genre is. Is that the way you feel about it?
Well, absolutely. You know, as a writer, it really is about the story. It is about the narrative. It's about character. And the genre, like I said, I'm not really a fan of horror specifically, and I wouldn't even say I'm a fan of comedy or drama. I wouldn't be able to pick, like you said in the question, I'm a fan of great story, great character. So just off the top of my head, great horror films for me are going to be pretty obvious. I'm not going to dig deep into some archive of some obscure film. I love the original Alien, and I love John Carpenter's The Thing. Films like that, really great horror, some sci-fi mixed in there, are things that I enjoyed growing up and was a fan of.
Now, where did you get the idea for Dead Walker then? Where did the story come from? How did you originate it?
My friend who helped me with this project, his name is Judd Payne. He's involved on a development level and as a producer on this project as well. We're very old, dear, close friends. He and I were just kind of kicking around ideas 8 or 10 years ago, and we thought how interesting it might be to turn this zombie format or genre or whatever you want to call it. At least at the time, we felt kind of upside down. I mean, this was at a time before zombies. They've been kind of in vogue the last few years, but we were working on this for a while prior to that, and we thought, wow, wouldn't it be interesting if we didn't have these slow-moving zombies, so to speak? What if they were faster and more powerful? And what if even the zombie himself was actually a hero character? And that's what kind of got us excited. Mm-hmm. Let's have a hero zombie character. Basically, turn it into a revenge hero zombie pick. You know, that was kind of the initial concept, and it just grew from there.
Well, your timing is impeccable because this is the time for zombie stories. You've got The Walking Dead. They're in the middle of their second season, and they're...
I know. I love... You know, I mean, ours has been called Dead Walker forever, and I love their title, too. So I wish, you know, we had maybe pushed a little harder 3 or 4 years ago, and we would have come out at the leading edge. But there's room for great story no matter what time, so we feel we have a terrific story to tell here.
Did you come up with the title Dead Walker before The Walking Dead? You heard of that, or how did that title?
Oh, it was called Dead Walker 8 years ago.
Okay.
I mean, once I named the character John Walker, it was almost at the beginning, and we couldn't come up with a title forever. Mm-hmm. And then I just one night woke up literally like middle of the night thinking about it, and then boom, and Dead Walker, why not? His name is John Walker. So, but that's kind of how that went down. But The Walking Dead, brilliant program, brilliant show. Mm-hmm. Kudos to them. And great title.
So if AMC came to you and said, we need a companion show to go with The Walking Dead, what about Dead Walker? You wouldn't turn that down.
I mean, terrific. They'd probably turn around and come to us and say, you need to change your title if you're going to become a TV show.
You'd have to go to bed and think of a new one then if that was the case.
Not a problem. Titles, they are difficult to come by. You want to come up with something that grabs an audience and that can convey the story through a title, but we like our title. We're sticking with it.
Yeah. The one thing that makes me smile is if you watch the beginning of The Walking Dead, the words appear in the order of the dead.
They do. I know.
And so when I saw the title of this book, I thought, I wonder. I just wonder.
No, yeah, indeed. Okay. Obviously, you're just going on my word, but I guarantee we had the title for a while. But in any event, they're much different stories. They're very, very different stories.
Great minds think alike, I guess, is how this happens. So.
Perhaps. I don't know if I have a great mind, but I'm proud of this work.
Okay. Now, do you want to give a little bit more of a summary of the story? We know that Jonathan Walker's in there. It's a sort of a zombie revenge story. Do you want to fill in a little bit without giving too much away of the story?
Sure. The initial setup for it is John Walker. He's a scientist who suffered a tragedy in his life. One of his children died of cancer. So it became his goal, working for a large pharmaceutical company, to come up with a cure for cancer, which is the holy grail for, I would hope, any kind of scientific, medical, pharmaceutical outfit. But his work was corrupted by his partner, who was much more interested in coming up with something that would enable someone to live forever. I mean, he was looking for a fountain of youth, so to speak, a shot in the arm that would enable you to live through eternity. And his experiments also were failing miserably and had horrible, horrible side effects, which would basically turn a dead person into the walking dead, basically turn them into zombies. However, the kind of the trick is that if you actually take this kind of corrupted serum that Walker's evil partner had created, if you took it and gave it to a living person, it would kill that person, but then it would kind of revive them as a more active dead walker, a person who has his faculties still and has great strength and never tires then really is incredibly difficult to kill. And that's what happens to John Walker. Instead of being a drone kind of zombie, we don't really have a term for what he is. That's why we just call him Dead Walker. Mm-hmm. But he's got his faculties about him. He's as brilliant as ever, but he's technically dead. And he's caught between this shadowy world where he dreams of the afterlife and he longs to be there, yet he is hell-bent on revenge for the wrongs that have been done to him and to his family. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the setup. That's basically the premise. There's a lot more story to it than that, but that's how that story gets jump-started.
You said one of the things that wasn't apparent at the beginning of the story, mm-hmm. and we start right off with things going awry, and of course, he has a female compatriot who he works with who supports him.
Yes.
And it's an interesting development to see as things happen. We don't know at the beginning about what you, some of the stuff you've mentioned, and it becomes unfolded as we move along. So mm-hmm. I think that the great thing about the Dead Walker story is that you think it's going to go one direction, and it just seems to go different directions.
Yes.
I really thought that the one that when, well, let's just say when Jonathan Walker takes a turn, that was pretty much going to be the end of the story. But mm-hmm. it really isn't. You have a big surprise that comes later on, and I am not going to spoil it.
Yeah, there's a surprise midway through with some additional character development, we'll just say. That's mm-hmm. pretty fun mm-hmm. and definitely adds a little action to the remainder of the pages in the book. So. Mm-hmm.
Did you have the story all plotted out by the time you guys got around to doing the comic? Did you have to change the story much to convert it from a script into a comic book?
Not really. And it never actually made it into script form. It was just still in an outline. So I didn't have to do any reconversion from a completed script into the comic. So really, it was a well-detailed outline, and it was beated out in a way in terms of a movie format, whereas, you know, most films have kind of a three-act format. So it had that three-act format already put in place. And so I was introduced to the comic format, which is different than a screenplay format, but it seemed to kind of mesh well, and it wasn't an intense amount of conversion, but there was quite a bit of work. And obviously, there was no dialogue or descriptions for panels for artists to work from, so there was quite a bit that went into it. But I would say the story itself remained essentially unchanged. There's always details that shift around, mm-hmm. action sequences, morph and modify, but essentially the characters were the same. Mm-hmm. And that was what was important to me and to Judd in terms of developing this project. Mm-hmm. And I should also say, you know, Kickstart also incredibly helpful mm-hmm. in providing development support and editorial support along the way. Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful working relationship with them as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. One of the things I know about comics is that you've got to lay things out on a page a certain way. You want to end a page with a little bit of something to hold the person to make sure they turn the page.
Yes.
So in that sense, there's some of television, there's some of movies going along in that as far as the pacing goes. The folks at Kickstart, I'm sure, gave you a lot of help with that. Did you mm-hmm. find that difficult because you'd been writing scripts for so long? When you transferred over to comics, was that a tough switch for you?
It was challenging, but I wouldn't say it was tough. It just took a little retraining of the brain as you sit down and work through the format and just doing, as you say, making sure that towards the end of every panel on the page, you want to keep that story moving forward. Yeah, and you almost want each page to come with, I wouldn't say sit alone, like stand alone without the remainder of the book, but you want that page to be compelling and interesting, and either you're moving the plot forward or you're moving character forward. Mm-hmm. If you're not doing one of those things on the page, it's not a good page, and you got to start over. And that's true with screenwriting as well. You don't ever want to write a scene that just kind of meanders. That scene either has to convey important plot information or important character information. And if it doesn't, it's a dead scene, and it's got to go or it's got to be modified. Here, it's just per page. So it's the same kind of essential rules, but it's just compressed onto a single page.
One of the things I enjoy about the book, I often like this about Kickstart comics in general, is that there's a great balance between plot and character. You've got mm-hmm. relationships that are moving forward, and there are changes that come along, and those are surprises as well as what happens in the plot. And
yeah.
I just thought that was one of the great things about that. Now, when you write scripts as well as when you do this, was that an important thing for you to accomplish?
Absolutely. And I was thinking it's one of the main reasons why I think Kickstart was so attracted to the project, because they felt that the character was so well developed. And they do put an emphasis on character, and not just main character, but secondary and third level characters as well. I mean, they were very focused all along to make sure that each character had something to add, carried their own weight, and I would completely agree with that in terms of my style of writing, I think. And so, yeah, it's a hard toss up almost. Yeah, I would have to almost pick character, perhaps, as being the more important factor of a great story. The narrative is critical, plot is critical, but character really is going to set apart a good film from a great film. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same probably with comic as well.
Well, the interesting thing is that, you know, if you don't care about the people, then it's just a video game you're watching.
Essentially, yeah.
And so what you did in your book is you made it so that we cared about what happened to these people. And that was
sure.
a very important thing, especially if you've got a one shot. You've got only a few pages before you've got to grip the reader. And I think
yeah.
Deadwalker does that very well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And that was important to us in order to hook the reader in and make you want to know about this character and how is this character going to move forward? How is this character going to survive the challenges that he's facing right out of the gate?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say a character is probably a notch up above plot and narrative. Just look at famous comics of all time. I mean, what do they call it? They're called Batman and Superman. You know, I mean, they're about the character.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't know a lot about comic, but I know that.
Well, that's good to know. Because as a longtime reader of comics myself, if you don't like the people or the characters involved, you're not going to be turning the page very often. So it's
no.
a very important
yeah.
thing. I think you met that very well. I really think that's one of the strengths of the book.
Thank you. It's a challenge, but thank you.
Now, the interesting thing, too, is, and as in all good comic, you set up a conflict, and at the end of the book, that conflict comes to some sort of a resolution. And you get that in Deadwalker as well. In Batman and Superman, you have month after month after month to keep going, so you really can't resolve things. But as Kickstarter always likes to do, you have a finite resolution on there. So that means that everything's on the table when you get to it. When you get to the last page or so, you're not sure what's going to happen. In Batman, you know he's going to be back next month. But
yeah.
you don't know in Deadwalker who's going to survive and what's going to happen. And I thought the ending, and I won't spoil it, but I thought the ending was a really good ending for this kind of book. It's the kind of thing that sadly makes me want more, but I know it's a one-shot.
Yeah, it does leave a little bit of a window there for future developments, we'll just say.
Mm-hmm.
However, it could just stand alone as well. But I'd like to think that there'll be additional chapters in the Deadwalker series. At least I'm hopeful that there will be.
No,
because I would love to keep writing it.
I bet, because Kickstarter hasn't done that in the past. They haven't really had much noise of sequels. This could
no.
be the first one. You never know. Yours could be the first.
You never know. It could happen. But we'll have to just wait and see what the response is out in the public.
Well, I like the book a lot. So that leads me to ask you the next question is, do you have other projects in the works that we should know about? I know you have other work outside of the field of writing.
I do. I have other film projects that continue to evolve. I had a film that recently shot or just finished shooting a couple months ago up mm-hmm. in Vancouver. But in terms of the comic world, no, I do not. This was my experience in comic books as it stands as of now. Unless Deadwalker continues, I'm not sure if I'll dive back in.
We don't have to only talk about comics. If you've got a film that you want to promote, you said there's a film that's being shot. Can you tell us about that, or is that something we shouldn't know about at this point?
I mean, I could tell you about it. It doesn't even have a title yet. I mean, it literally wrapped shooting like 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Katie Cassidy. She's Sean Cassidy's daughter. She's on the new Melrose Place show.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Logue is in it as well. And it's a thriller.
Mm-hmm.
It's a teen or kind of a college-age thriller. Involving two girls who have, we'll just say they have some differences, and they go head-to-head throughout the course of the stakes kind of heighten. But in terms of promoting it, I mean, that movie probably won't be out till at the earliest next summer. And like I said, it doesn't have a title even right now. So it was called The New Girl, but there's a TV show called The New Girl. I keep titling things, and then TV shows keep coming out. Because there's some sitcom, I think, called The New Girl now, so... That was our title, and now it's going to be retitled. Maybe I should start writing for TV because I keep coming up with TV titles.
I was going to say, you're doing the right thing here. You're obviously on the right track for television, so you know maybe that you could add that
perhaps.
To your resume.
Yeah, perhaps.
Christian, it's good to talk with you, and I hope people pick up Deadwalker and give it out for holiday presents.
I hope so, too. I look forward to grabbing a copy myself in my local retail outlet.
Have you seen what the pages look like?
I have. I have seen all the pages, but I actually haven't held a copy in my hand yet, so I'm anxious to get one. I've seen all the artwork, and it's brilliant, but I don't have one yet, but it's supposedly, we'll just say it's in the mail.
Well, I gotta warn you, that's an addictive thing. That's what makes a lot of us comics readers, is we love to hold the thing in our hand and just read it. So
Sure. Be
careful when you're reading it, because you might get addicted to comics when you do.
That wouldn't be a bad thing.
Okay. Well, it's good talking with you, Christian. Much success. And
all right. Thank you, sir.
Maybe we'll get to talk with you again in the future if you have some other good projects that are worth sharing. So that'd be great.
I appreciate that, and I certainly would.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
Speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Wayne's Comic Review.
Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands. And now, another exciting episode.
Let's talk about the books that came out this week. I'm going to save my best book of the week again until I'm talking with Gianluca and Ian later in the podcast, but let's just say that the Caped Crusader or the Dark Knight or whatever you want to call him is doing very well these days. As far as other new 52 books, Jeff Johns and Jim Lee keep the Justice League going along real well, so I like number 3. This is going to make a lot more sense or be a lot more interesting when it's all collected into a trade, but I'm still enjoying it now. Next comes Green Lantern Corps number 3 by Peter Tomasi, and it had a lot of surprises in it, so I like that book. Nightwing continued to do very well by Kyle Higgins. He did the Batman Gates of Gotham series with Scott Snyder not too long ago, and Nightwing is doing very well. Dick Grayson's past is catching up with him, and it's not going too well for Mr. Grayson. Wonder Woman continues to be a big surprise, as I'll talk about later with Ian and Gianluca. I just love the way that they refer to her as Clay in the current book, issue number 3. Good stuff. Birds of Prey is back and shows just how powerful a member Poison Ivy can be. Captain Atom has the Flash guest starring. Then Supergirl is fooled to be going into a space station where she finds an interesting adversary awaiting her. Red Hood and the Outlaws is again better than I expected, so I like that. Catwoman number 3 has her facing the consequences of previous actions, and it sure isn't as pretty as she is. Legion of Superheroes keeps me intrigued with a fascinating new story underway. Blue Beetle has a lot of action to it, and I like that. There's also some interesting Hispanic characters, so it's pretty good. But we have to watch out for the space visitors, who are likely going to show up very soon. DC Comics Presents continues to debut Dead Man for the new show that's going to show up on the CW. We're learning about his origin, and it's a pretty good story, so I like the read. The Robot Man story is my favorite thing in my greatest adventure. I like the other two pretty well, but they're just not up to the Robot Man level. But if that's the weakest book of the week, that's not a bad week. Other books worth picking up this week include DC Online Legends number 17 and Young Justice number 10, based on the TV show. From Marvel comes Avengers Academy number 22 and Venom number 9. The always terrific Atomic Robo Ghost of Station X number 3 of 6 came out from Red 5. Liked that book a lot. Stan Lee Starborn number 12. Then the wonderful Blue Estate number 7, as well as Severed number 4 of 7 from Image. Then we get the Kevin Smith Bionic Man from Dynamite, which does quite a lot of the splaining that needs to be done as how the bionics actually work. So I like that quite a lot. And that's what I think of the books that came out this week.
Science fiction that will blow your mind. This is SFP Now.
Time for this week's news and previews with Ian Cullen. How are you, Ian?
I'm very good, thank you very much. I've got a drink handy, so I've got my ammunition all ready.
Okay, and Gianluca Glazer, how are you, Gianluca?
I'm doing fine. I'm staying indoors and keeping dry.
Okay.
Toward rain in Los Angeles.
Wow, that's a very unusual occurrence.
You want a drink?
Yes. Yeah, pass one over to me.
Yeah, I've got some, it's single malt whiskey. It's fine vintage. You're going to love it.
Oh,
okay, well, why don't we get to news and previews. Ian, what news have you got for us this week?
The Recovered Action Comics first issue could actually break the $1.5 million mark at auction.
Cool.
And there's a bit of speculation as to whose copy of Action it actually is. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of speculation that it actually belongs to Nicolas Cage.
Ah.
A rare Spider-Man comic has been stolen. This is something that Wayne posted earlier this week. Mm-hmm. It's been nicked.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the picture, I'm just wondering why on earth someone would nick it. It's horrible.
What it is it's the very first appearance of Spider-Man. It's Amazing Fantasy. So I don't care what the condition is at this point. If there's one that exists, that's, 40 years old, and they're very difficult to come by. So I'm not terribly surprised that somebody stole it.
It looks like gay porn gone wrong.
Anybody who's listening would recognize what this is. Spider-Man's carrying a criminal in his arm. Well, you see this all over the place. People are endlessly doing send-ups of this, so it's pretty commonly known.
Yeah, but his necks are so far apart, you know, it's not like he's trying to,
Well, I don't want to go that
far. Kirby drawing this?
Actually, it is. Yeah, Kirby did the first cover. If you look at the face of the criminal, it's clearly a Kirby thing. And Kirby, of course, designed the Spider-Man costume, not Ditko. Ditko drew the issues, but Kirby's the one who came up with the costume.
Yeah. Well, what was the thing with Jack Kirby, though? He had this thing about drop-down hairlines,
man's dead. Let's leave it that way, I think. Let's let him rest in peace, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else besides that?
It still was kind of gay.
Yeah, I get that. Let's move on to the – let's go to the next story. You have any more stories there, Ian, or is that's gotcha?
Oh, I'm going to pass the book on to John Mucha now because I'm looking at something called Adrenalize with Red Spike, and I think that's right. Kind of your deal.
Yeah.
And also this, and I think you're obviously going to want to talk about the trade of
The Vault.
Of The Vault coming out as well. So.
Yeah, just really quickly on those two books. They're both published by Image Comics. They're in the November issue of Previews, and they're available to pre-order. Red Spike is going on sale January 11th. And then the week after is going to be The Vault, collecting issues 1-3. It's going to be on sale January 18th. And yeah, I highly encourage people to check them out, buy them. If you want to read the whole first issue of Red Spike number one, it's available on bleedingcool.com. You can just type in Red Spike in the search fields up in the top right. The Vault, there's plenty of websites that have like preview pages of the three issues that are out there. Definitely worth checking out if it's your thing. If you like horror and science fiction, get it. Enough with that spiel, though. I do want to actually talk about some, news. Mm-hmm. Boom Studios announced that they are publishing Dave Sims' Last Girlfriend. Interesting guy, Dave Sims. Do you guys know much about him and Cerebus?
Yeah.
One question. What happened to his first girlfriend?
He's been divorced, I believe, maybe a couple of times. He's got some very interesting views on women, actually, which is kind of, I guess, what the appeal of this book is about. Deals with his last relationship before he decided to become celibate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That explains a lot. But I saw Mr. Sim at a convention. He was stoned out of his mind, and Sergio Aragonés was there with him, and he was literally leading Dave around by the arm so that he could go and meet his obligations. But you could tell he was just not with the program. I felt sorry for Mr. Aragonés, but he has his way, so I'm not terribly surprised.
How long ago was this?
Oh, this must have been a while ago. It must have been about 10, 15 years ago, maybe.
Sounds a bit untoward. You're saying, well, he has his way. Sounds a bit wrong.
Well, it's not gay. Let's not go back to the gay thing.
He is like an interesting character.
Oh, yeah.
There is something called a Cerebus effect, and it doesn't just apply to comics, but it's a term based off of his book where he started off with a very lighthearted Conan spoof kind of story. Mm-hmm. And then over time, he added layers of depth to it. He made it like a social satire. And then from there, it went into this theology range. And then it dealt with, you know, it dealt with certain very controversial views of women,
mm-hmm.
with something called anti-feminism. And then it later on becomes something like a Greek tragedy with the main character dying at the end. Mm-hmm. Oops, sorry.
Well, how many years ago did that come out? I mean, that's been up for a long
time. It ran for 300 issues. And during an acid trip, he decided at that point that it was going to run for that many issues. And to his credit, he made that happen.
Cool.
Yep, that's him.
Yes. So interesting. We didn't touch upon this last week's show because it was kind of breaking when we were doing it. But Frank Miller had some very interesting comments to say about the Occupy movement. Mm-hmm. Kind of a bit of old news, but it is worth mentioning. It's kind of funny.
Why don't you briefly say what he said?
Just basically equating, bringing in Al-Qaeda and bringing in kind of the war on terror and basically accusing the Occupy movements of kind of undermining America's efforts in the war against terrorism. Typical kind of Frank Miller thing, you know, maybe he's trying to say stuff like that to boost extra sales for Holy Terror. Who knows? He basically got a lot of negative flack from the comic community in response to his statements.
Mm-hmm. So.
Interesting. Marvel, interesting stuff with Marvel, ending a few titles here. Marvel is canceling Ghost Rider and Black Panther, mm-hmm. and they're bringing an end, but not canceling, just the storylines are finishing up for Punisher Max and X-23.
Interesting.
Yes.
That means the next Punisher one that comes out will be the beginning of an entire new arc.
It's not like regular Punisher, it's Punisher Max.
Uh-huh. So.
This was the Punisher who was turned into a zombie or something? Or what's the deal with the story with that?
I don't know. I know Rick Remender was, I think, involved with it for a while.
I don't think it has as much sugar as wrecking the Punisher.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In case you didn't get that joke.
Mm-hmm.
But other news for DC, Ron Mars is no longer writing Voodoo,
mm-hmm.
and he's being replaced by Josh Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame. You're dealing with a alien stripper character.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Mars was brought in to bring it in a certain direction. He wasn't really sure what direction that is. He did his best, and I guess they decided not to go in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Too true.
It's one of the lower-selling DC 52 titles, too, so mm-hmm. that may have had an effect.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not really an appealing title, mm-hmm. to be honest with you, no matter who's writing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion, though.
Okay.
And then last two bits of news, Image Comics and Dynamite Comics announced like their February releases, the stuff that's going to be in next month's December previews. For Image, what looked interesting to me was Thief of Thieves by Robert Kirkman and Nick Spencer, art and cover by Sean Martinborough. So it sounds like an interesting thing. Conrad Paulson lives a secret double life as Master Thief Redmond. There's nothing he can't steal, nothing he can't have, except for the life he left behind. Now, with a grown son he hardly knows and an ex-wife he never stopped loving, Conrad must try to piece together what's left of his life before the FBI finally catches up to him. But it appears they're the least of his worries.
Mm-hmm.
So, sounds like an interesting concept there from Mr. Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman.
Right.
On Dynamite's side, the only thing that really stood out to me is that they're doing – I mentioned the Red Sonja Witchblade crossover, yeah. But the only other thing besides that is the fact that they're doing now a ongoing Army of Darkness.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yes.
Ooh,
they're introducing a female Ash character. They're not getting rid of the regular Ash character, but they're introducing another character. So, interesting.
Talking of which, guys, given that this is going to be the last show until after Thanksgiving and we've not got a regular SFP show this week, I'm going to ask Wayne this live on the air. Would it be okay for us to do the best and the worst comics of the week here?
I think that's a good idea.
I'm being in comics overload this week. I've read a fair bit because I had a lot of comics arrive. I'm on the last chapter of Caliber,
mm-hmm.
but I think I'll hold back on that until next show. But you know, I've had a few comics. So.
Caliber, you mean the one that Sam Sakara wrote?
Yeah, so it's also a drink here in the UK as well. It's actually a bitter or a beer, I think.
Okay.
So it's multi-purpose.
Okay.
So, you read it, then you drink it.
Okay, so what, Ian, did you read that you want to say is your best of the recent books that you've read?
Ooh, well, I'd say the best of the recent books I've read, there's actually two that really stand out.
for me, and that is the latest edition of Planet of the Apes. It's all come to a head. The war between the humans and apes has actually broken out properly now, to the point where the apes have actually bought out some old tanks and destroyed a human settlement, and they've taken the Mayor Sully prisoner by the end of it. And this has actually been building up quite nicely over a period of the last few issues, hasn't it, John Luca? Mm-hmm. And it all came to a head, and they've got Sully in custody, and at the end of the book they had her tied down to a table, and a chimpanzee was about to deliver her a baby sort of thing. But you can bet that it is going to be a bit of torture involved.
Okay.
It didn't look like he was going to get up to any good. And another one that I liked this time out was the fourth issue of Bionic Man.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have him undergo the operation. They do a nice little bit where they introduce Max to him and show that Max, the Alsatian dog's already had it, the bionics done to him and whatnot. And the second part of the issue, Transformations, was really good because he dealt with that transformation, and he was complaining that he would have liked to have kept at least something of his old self, like as in some scars and stuff like that, to remind him that he's been in an accident and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed that. I also read Suicide Squad, which seems to have improved, although at the same time it's also a little bit contrived because what's the name of Joker's girlfriend now?
Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn. Well, Harley Quinn got it on with Deadshot.
Oh, really?
And that seemed to be a little bit contrived. It seemed to come out of nowhere. And it turns out another guy called Boomerang or somebody is an Australian thing. And he's come in and he's been ordered to take over the team. And he's being given the kill switch that kills them all. So they've got to obey his orders now. So it's looking to set some conflicts up for the next issue. My worst of the week, again, was Wolf, issue 4. Not because it was bad. It seems to be all right in comparison to the last issue. It picks up a little bit sort of thing, but I'm still not sure where the story's going. And if it don't become clear to me soon, I can't see myself continuing on with it. And that's by Atlas Comics, and it's by Steve Niles. And
oh, yeah.
But I get the impression that they're not quite sure where they're going with it. And it was a nice introduction was it Lockjaw?
Iron Jaw.
It was a nice introduction of Iron Jaw, and it was nice to see them fighting together as well as fighting each other, but they seem to sort of like become allies a bit too easily, considering that Paige Zinni were beating the stuffing out of each other. Just again, it seemed a little bit too contrived.
Okay, Gianluca, how about you? Best and the worst of the week for you?
Best of the week for me is I had a pretty light week because I'm actually saving up for stuff for next week that's going to be really interesting. But for me, best of the week was Batman 3, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. So really enjoying that. The Court of Owls. It's a pretty interesting storyline. Yeah. It's definitely got me engrossed here.
I have to agree with you on that one, although I'm going to actually go a little farther than you. I actually sent an email to Scott Snyder and said, it's not only my favorite of the week, but it's my favorite of the week, but also my favorite book that's coming out right now. I just think he's doing a fantastic job of the ongoing books that are going right now. Batman is my favorite. So I wrote him a nice email saying that because he saw my review of it on scifipulse.net, and he Twittered me, and then I Twittered him back or tweeted him back, and I sent him an email, and I said, look, I said, you're doing such a great job with this character that to me this is the best book. Of course, my favorite character is the best book, the ongoing book that's out there right now. So anyway, I just thought I'd chime that in. Okay, anything else?
You know, it's kind of interesting. Yeah, there's certain books that have gotten better since the first issue, and there's certain books that have slipped. And yeah, Suicide Squad, I didn't pick up 3, but number 2 did it for me, you know, with that particular series. The first issue was very appealing, dealing with these guys and how they committed a crime or did something that put them in the position that they're in. And then with, issue 2, it just got very generic. So it's kind of sad to see that they're still doing, they're still butchering the Harley Quinn character.
Okay, well, what I'll do is I'll pipe in. Batman, of course, is my favorite. The one I struggled with was because I couldn't get it. That's the whole reason why it's not because it was a bad book. I simply physically couldn't get it. Was Dreamweavers number 2, which I really liked the book, but every place I ordered it, nobody got it. And so I don't know whether it just didn't come out or what, but I really liked the book. I just wish I could get it. So I'm going to have to write the guy who writes the book and ask him to please get me one because I want to read this thing.
Who's the publisher for that?
You know, I struggle with that. It's a publishing. Unfortunately, they don't make a lot of product, and some places apparently are not interested in ordering stuff from them. But I order it. I will buy it. Give it to me. So I'm kind of frustrated with that. But other than that, yeah, for me, it was a great week. There was a lot of stuff that was going on. It was just tremendous. Green Lantern Corps was great. Birds of Prey was really good. And that I want to throw in a bit of news is that Batgirl is actually going to join the Birds of Prey team.
That's right.
Which I find interesting. Justice League number 3 was a great one also. So, and Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman really surprised me how much I like that series. That's a good series. I'm glad that they finally found somebody on there who can write the character. So I'm very happy.
Is she wearing a proper costume now, or is she still dressing like an 80s hooker?
No, it's mostly her old costume. Except they took the black pants off, so she's got the black shorts and the black boots, but nothing on the rest of the legs. And it's mostly like her costume in the past, some variations that Mr. Lee did. But it's pretty good. I like it. I think the book's a great book.
Mr. Lee must have a thing about 80s hookers.
Well, at least it's not gay. That's all I can say. I'm good about that.
I think what he did, he watched old episodes of Hunter. Mm-hmm. And the old episodes of Hunter when Dee Dee McCaw, Stephanie Kramer, was dressed up as a hooker. And he thought, that's it. That's Wonder Woman. Right there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, why don't we get into previews on that note? I think we should talk about what's coming out this week. Ian, anything that's coming out this week you want to talk about?
Not really, but I'm gonna throw this over to you guys. I'm wondering when Flash Gordon Zeke Geist is coming out. Is that this week? Because it's meant to come out this month.
I think it comes out in December.
I thought
I'm
it was
not sure.
I think that's German, so I think it's pronounced Zeitgeist, is how that's pronounced.
Yes, it is. It is pronounced Zeitgeist. and it means the ghost of our times.
Now, on that subject, though, Flash Gordon Invasion of the Red Sword number 5 is coming out this week.
Yeah, that could be
six. It's number 6. That's the end of that. And also, there's the Flash Gordon Secret History of Mongo softcover comes out this week. So there is Flash Gordon this week.
Yeah, I've got the hardcover of the Secret History of Mongo signed.
Anything else you're looking forward to, Ian?
Well, just really Flash Gordon Zeitgeist, and obviously Lord of the Jungle next month, because I've pretty much gotten all my comics all at once this weekend.
Wow.
I've only got one comic left to read, and that's Demon Knights. Mm-hmm. So I've basically got everything really quickly this one.
Cool. Mm. Cool. Okay. John Luke, how about you?
All right. A number of interesting titles out. Dark Horse Presents number 6 comes out. It's going to feature Gabriel Moon, I think, has a new story in it. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting. I, Vampire number 3 by Joshua Hale Fialkov. Looking forward to that, as well as Justice League Dark number 3. I've really been enjoying that. Mm-hmm. For folks that like Scott Snyder, Batman the Black Mirror hardcover comes out, and it collects Snyder and Jock's run of DC Comics number 871 to 877 storyline.
Cool.
I noticed this. This was kind of interesting, and I don't know if it's for a single issue or if he's been involved in the whole series, but Godzilla Kingdom of the Monster number 9 comes out November 23rd, and it's written by Harry Knowles and Jason Ciamella. Hmm. I'm probably butchering that. But Harry Knowles, you know, the guy who writes Ain't It Cool News, mm-hmm. founder of that.
What, he ran?
He's a co-writer for Godzilla Kingdom of the Monsters number 9, and I don't remember him being announced as being the writer for the series or anything like that, you know?
Is he basing it on his actual life experiences?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I've heard he's lost a lot of weight recently. Mm. No jokes. For IDW, some interesting stuff. Richard Starks Parker, the Martini Edition hardcover, is coming out.
Ooh.
It's been long delayed. It was solicited quite a while ago, but it's finally going on sale. Oh. And if you were lucky enough to go to Long Beach Comic Con, they had a limited edition Long Beach Comic Con version of that, which I have not been able to find online for sale. Also, IDW has the Rocketeer Jetpack Treasury Edition. Mm-hmm. Which is like an oversized, I think it's probably the equivalent of the first issue of the old Dave Stevens comic. Large oversized edition there for you. Boom Studio has a couple of interesting titles. They have Decision 2012 Ron Paul, both a regular and a superhero variant edition. So kind of interesting, you know, these things were voted on by retailers as part of a collection type of thing. Mm-hmm. They've already had, I think, the Obama one come out, and then Michelle Bachmann. So I think this is the third one. And apparently, I guess it warrants enough to have both a regular and a variant cover. So.
Ooh. Wow.
Kind of interesting. Boom also has Hellraiser Masterpieces number 2, which collects old, I say it like derogatory, but it collects older Marvel Hellraiser materials. It has some like interesting people involved. So definitely check that out. And then also the new edition of Heavy Metal Magazine goes on sale.
Oh, bet you're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing in it that I know about in particular. It's just a regular issue of Heavy Metal. But if you like Heavy Metal, it's a good book. The new issue comes out.
So. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right, let me throw in a couple of mine. I'm interested in Teen Titans number 3, I think is going to be fun. Superman number 3, Mr. Perez is still on it. So I'm happy about that. Interestingly enough, there is a third printing of a DC number 1 coming out this week. And that's Animal Man number 1. I think people are still trying to catch up on that.
I noticed that.
Isn't that interesting? I just find that so fascinating that book just
There's no Animal Man number 3 or any subsequent issues of it, but they're just releasing the third printing of number 1.
I find that interesting because that book, people are still trying to get copies of that, apparently. Also, Savage Hawkman, which I really like, that's coming out this week. There's a Lock and Key Guide to Known Keys one-shot. If you read the book, you know that you're in a house where there's all these different keys that do different things, including, like, unlock the top of your head for parts of it. And so I like that. I'm looking forward to getting that. I like that book a lot. Incorruptibles out this week, which I like from Mr. Wade.
I think it starts the crossover, doesn't it?
Yes, it was the battle between the two of them. Yeah. That'll be great fun. So I'm looking forward to that tremendously. Wrassel number 12 by the guy who did Bone is out. Can't believe that made it 12 issues already. My understanding was that Deadwalker from Kickstarter was supposed to be out last week, but Diamond is listing it for this week. So if you didn't get Deadwalker last week, and the interview in this podcast is with Christian Forte, who wrote that book, be sure to get there and get the Deadwalker graphic novel from Kickstarter. Any Kickstarter book you're going to enjoy.
Just in time for Thanksgiving.
That's a good thing. We talk a little bit about that, and so kind of fun. But I think those are the books that I'm interested in. Okay, and that wraps up another edition of News and Previews. We'll talk again after the Thanksgiving holiday. Thanks, guys. And let's see what's new in your comic store this week. There's an Offered Again Angelus statue for $219. I guess it didn't sell out the first time around. Angelus, of course, being Angel from the Buffy series. There's also Angry Bird Bad Piggy's Egg Recipes hardcover, Angry Bird's Big Green Doodle Book softcover, as well as an Angry Bird's Big Red Doodle Book. Hopefully the Angry Birds aren't too angry anymore since they're making all this money. In the t-shirt realms, there's Batman Arkham City schematic bat logo t-shirts. There's also the Two-Face Wants You t-shirt. And along the Batman line, there's an EFX 8-inch wristband. There's Beatles black and white playing card tin. There's a Bruce Lee playing card tin. Classic Heroes Doc Savage statue for $199.99. Why don't we throw in the penny and make it $200? There's also a DC Comics Flashpoint 6-piece magnet set. Also a DC Heroes Wave 19 stripe action figure set. Disney Pixar Cars 2 has a Mater key ring. It's only $2.99, so that's not bad. There's also Doctor Who Brilliant Book of Doctor Who 2012 hardcover. There's also the Doctor's Nano Recorder for $40. An Encyclopedia hardcover new edition for $40. And a Doctor Who Solo 16x20 poster. I would imagine that has Matt Smith and Matt Smith alone on that one. There's also the Doctor Who 11th Doctor Maxi Bust. The Game of Thrones LCG Here to Serve set. There's also the Grateful Dead playing card tin. I guess there's a lot of playing cards this week. There's also the Green Lantern EFX 8-inch wristband, as well as the Movie Master action figures. If you get a cookie, will he shut up? And I'm sanitizing that hardcover for $15. I guess the answer to that is likely no. The Incredible Hulk origin story hardcover. Lord of the Rings Dead Marshes adventure pack. Marvel Minimates Series 42, as well as the Marvel Universe leather guitar strap. If we didn't get enough last week, they're back. There's also the Metal Men Lead, Platinum, and Tin t-shirts. Then there's the Risk Legacy. I assume that's the game. There's also the Stan Lee Universe hardcover, which was rescheduled, and it's $40. Also Star Wars Old Republic.
Republic hardcover. Then Superman's got his share of stuff going on. There's the EFX 8-inch wristband, the Silhouette 2 t-shirt, and the Symbols t-shirt. Back to the action figures, there's the Terminator Collection 7 from the film. There's also the Torchwood Captain Jack Maxi bust for $70. And getting back to the t-shirts, there is the Wonder Woman Starfield t-shirts. And there's also the Wonderland pint glass set. And those are the new things in your comic store this week. And that's a wrap for the 36th episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. As I mentioned previously, I'm going to be off next weekend so that I can enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday and a few days after that and get ready for the Christmas holidays. But when I'm back the first week of December, I'll have an interview with Fredrik Wiedemann, who's doing the scoring for Green Lantern the Animated Series for the Cartoon Network. He's got some interesting things to say, so you won't want to miss that. But until next time, keep reading your comics.
So I leave, knowing that a world full of heroes has nothing to fear.